Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Just when you thought life was on the brink of tipping over into the electronic AI nightmare that fools can only imagine, which extinguishes humanity and all its heart-beating normality, out of the heavens, three lights of pure guilt-free shilliness appear like stars being pulled in by a starving energy beast called hope. That's right. We are back. And when I say we, I mean the Cryptid Factor team, brought to you by the exclusively free Rodney's Exterior Wi-Fi. I'm Old Bond.
We're back!
Can you just talk us through that?
Hey, that was Old Bond. He's been wanting to get on the show. He hasn't been on for so long. I think the last time he was on might have been Dan's first episode, actually.
Wow. Old Bond.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Old Bond. We've missed you. Old Bond.
I mean, it's been a while.
What have you been up to?
Well, I died, but I've since come back because
that's good.
It's better. Yeah, it's better for money when you come back. You get more money. A comeback, nothing's better than a comeback.
Don't we know it? We've come back a few times.
Financially.
And now that you're back, what's your plans to how are you going to spend all your money?
Well, I mean, this is the first time I've been back.
How much is this costing us?
I haven't told him how much he's getting for this appearance.
You need a new agent, mate. They booked you the wrong gig.
What do you mean? How much? Well, you said I was going to get a lot.
Yes. Well, depending on how you did with that, wasn't too bad, that intro piece there. But we'll just have to see how we go throughout the episode if you're going to do any other funny bits, all right?
Yeah, sure. I'll promise I'll wait my turn and come in when it's applicable.
Good. And you might want to start thinking about your voice because it's weird. Your accent's slipping.
Yes. It's been a while.
You've let it slip whilst you've been dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're supposed to be Scottish.
No. I know.
Oh, God. Sorry, guys.
Welcome.
How long
back.
Has it been since we lost Connery? Does anyone know off the top of their head? Have we hit a year?
Actual Connery?
Yeah, actual Connery.
Oh, God, at least 10 years.
No, he died only like a year. Maybe his career died 10 years ago.
You know what? This is actually the best question you could ever ask, and that's why I brought into this, because the way the world is right now with the Mandela effect, and people are talking about this so much online right now with AI and all this kind of stuff, and we're living in a, what is it, buttons?
The Matrix.
Yeah, no. Yes, well, that's the movie. Help me.
Assimilation.
Yes, assimilation.
Simulation.
Simulation. People people are noticing more and more glitches. And one of the glitches that people are noticing more are false memories and time disappearing.
Yeah.
And for one of those, one of the most easiest ones to think of is how fast, let's say the pandemic, which is now officially, not officially over, but certainly dropped down from an emergency to now being, you know, let's be honest, we've moved on. It's been 3.5 years. But but my point was how fast time has been since 2020. We've had 3 years.
Yeah.
But why did it go so slow just then during your explanation?
Who do you think's been fighting time? Me.
You, yes.
That's why I'm taking so long to get to my point every time anyone speaks to me, because that's the only way I can get through to people. If people talk normally, it's gone. People don't understand it. If it's, you know, people are so living in a TikTok world.
That's so true.
I learned this from Buttons with his very slow behavior.
I've been trying to teach the world ever since before TikTok was invented to speak slowly.
Yeah.
And think about what, actually don't think about what you're saying and talk slowly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, put in your bets. When do you think Sean Connery died? I found the answer. What year did he die?
Okay. Well, see, this is it, because the last 3 years just disappeared. It felt like it was yesterday. But when we were living in them, it felt like it was going forever. So this is another dichotomy.
I would say 2021.
Okay.
Middle of 2021.
Really?
Yeah.
No. See, for me, and I'm obviously a big Bond fan, and I always think of, I may be thinking of Sir Roger Moore, who I know died before Sean. So you're saying 2021?
What are you going for, Reese?
I know Terry Jones died in 2020.
You know, the one good thing about doing this little test is that it gives very little chance for old Connery to come back and be funny, and then we don't have to pay for him. So if we just keep talking about trying to guess when old people died, we won't have to pay old Sean anything.
But look, this guy that I've hired here, he's old Bond. He's not Sean Connery.
Ah.
He's an impersonator.
He's old finger.
Yes.
Old finger. Yes.
Actually, can I have that? I like that. Can I change my name to Old Finger? I think it's giving me a little bit more prestige.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine, Old Finger. Okay. Off you go.
Yes, thank you. I'll be back later in the show.
Well, that's the best thing that's happened to him. His name changed. He's happy with that.
Why does that seem so creepy, that name, Old Finger? It seems so inappropriate for some reason.
You think of the Santa statue on top of the farmers at Christmas.
Farmers building Old Finger.
He's an old man beckoning you into his van. He has a plan.
Oh, that is, we have to change track quick. Get rid of Old Finger. Move him on, please.
Reese, you got to log in a year. What's your year?
Oh, okay.
When did Connery
go? I'm going to log in 2018.
Oh,
okay. That far back.
All right, here are the answers.
Oh, what prize do we get? Shribes?
Well, we can start a prize system, I guess. We can ask for...
How about, I've got an idea, we win Barry Humphrey's jacket.
No. It's not even in the show. That was before the show.
And the runner-up gets the pants.
All right. Roger Moore died 2017. So he died a while ago.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Sean Connery died Halloween 2020.
Oh, wow.
That's it then. COVID.
Because it's right. It was the first year of the pandemic.
Yeah.
That year is just... And everyone's mind just was like, I call that year the sinkhole. We all kind of fell into it.
Yeah, we
have no idea what happened. We were just in lockdown. We were just, you know, dispersed to different parts of the world. We were in this state of flux where we thought we were all going to die. It was panic. And so time really stood still. So anyone that died at that point you know, a celebrity, you'd be going, oh, yeah, that's great. And you probably would just go out of your mind almost immediately because you've realised you've got to go and buy some toilet paper and figure out where your loved ones are.
Yeah. But I'd love to know if anybody actually ever ran out of toilet paper or whether or not that was a massive have by the toilet paper industry to go, there's our chance, guys. Let's create serious demand.
I do remember there was a point where it was hard getting toilet paper in London.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And I found one of those giant multi-packs, you know, the ones that are like almost like a wall. I walked home with it in my arms through our local area. And I remember people looking at me with that sort of, you know, that mentality of, we're going to kill him for this.
Do you really need all of that? Yeah. You greedy bastard. They better be going to an old people's home.
It was that zombie flick, definitely.
Isn't it crazy that, you know, there's a massive global emergency and the one thing that we panic the most about is the ability to wipe our own ass. Mm. It's so weird.
Worst came to worst, you could go outside and get the garden hose and hose yourself off.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be such a great thing for the neighbours to see that. But there are other options.
Yeah.
How did we end up here talking about toilet paper shortages? How does this work again?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Weekly World Weird News.
It's crazy. It's freaky. Watch out.
Well, it's been a while since we've been on the air, so I have compiled some stories going right back to February.
Wow.
And of course, none of them were used because we never actually got on the air till now. And of course, sod's law, you get online, you look up what's the latest, and there's nothing there. So
well, it's still relevant. So I'm going back February's not that long ago, yeah. Was it?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Fine. Well, I'm actually not going that far back. I'm just saying I do have stories from that time. But I have an interesting headline here. Scientists engineer human cells to have the camouflage ability of squids.
What?
Ooh.
Hang on, yeah. What? Hang on. So read that headline again. Okay, I've got to take that all in.
Scientists engineer human cells to have the camouflage ability of squids.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's amazing. This is...
That's good.
Imagine that.
Oh, jeepers. Okay.
I got a headline.
Okay. Okay.
Brand new cryptozoology museum opens, despite the fact that the only thing they own is a backpack. So,
oh my God,
a backpack.
Please tell me the backpack is Percy Fawcett's, because then I'll go.
That would be amazing. Oh. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
If you've got one backpack, that would be the one that would get you to the museum.
That's true.
Oh my God.
All right, buttons.
Okay, that's exciting. I'd go to that museum. Where is the museum?
Well,
he's padding. I can tell he's padding.
It's that obvious.
That's great. Where's where's that museum, mate? Just off chance, bit more details there as I'm searching here. Backpack, you say?
I actually
never forget my first backpack. Of course, I was 5 years old. Ready to start school. Search.
And anyway, my news. Researchers have discovered that plants scream.
Oh, yes, I heard this.
And cry when stressed.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. I've got a little video to play of it too.
Okay. Looking forward to those screaming plants. But in the meantime, an article from futurism.com, which caught my attention. Obviously, I'm into camouflage, being an ex-military man.
What are you into? I'm into camouflage. It's kind of pastime, little hobby. Do you want to see some of my camouflage? I've got a small collection here.
Where? It's here. Where?
No, really.
Oh, the old camouflage jokes. Here they go. You don't think I've heard enough of those over the years? The distorted pattern material. I've got my camo gear on. Oh, where are you, mate? I can't see you. Yes. No shit, Sherlock. What about the guy that invented distorted pattern material? You think he hasn't heard that? I've made this new material that's going to hide the soldiers. Here it is. We're gonna put it on their clothing. I can't see it. Where is it?
Who said that?
I've got it on now. I'm wearing the new jacket. Where are you, mate? Oh, come on.
Are you dead? Are you a ghost?
No, wait, seriously, where are you? That would have been the first time.
That's a time travel destination moment. Going to the first person to ever make a camouflage joke. That's got to be high on the list.
Yeah. Now, I may be wrong. We'll have to do some fact-checking, but I think it goes back to World War II. I think the Germans came up with the distorted pattern material for their paratroopers, and I think they did some alpine distorted, but, yeah, that joke must have definitely gone down. And it's great to see it's still living.
Never forget.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of these articles now, one of the best things about modern technology when reading articles is that they offer you the listen to this article.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
which is great for people who can't be bothered reading.
Yeah. Human cells to have the camouflage ability of squids.
Yeah.
Cool.
Squids and octopuses are some of the most mesmerizing creatures of our oceans, endowed with a unique ability to fluidly change the color and transparency.
I'm already bored with your accent. I'm sorry. Wait, you can speed it up. We haven't got time to listen to this whole thing. Hang on.
That's because squid skin cells can't be cultured in a lab, making them almost impossible to study. But now, some intrepid researchers have come up with a clever workaround, replicating squid's camouflage ability in human cells instead. We had this crazy idea to see whether we could capture some aspect of the ability of squid skin tissues to change transparency within human cell cultures, said Alon Gorodetsky, who presented his team's findings at a meeting of the American Chemical Society in a press release. Cell shading. The so-called tunable transparency of cephalopods functions through a combination of pigment-based coloration, which can change how much light is absorbed.
So I think that kind of sums it up.
Funnily enough, your eyes then looked very much like a chameleon's eyes.
Well... That brings me to my other fascination with camouflage. My favourite lizard when I was a kid was always the chameleon, and their ability to – I just loved their ability to camouflage themselves into the surroundings. And that – obviously squids can do that as well, octopus. Mm. So I'm actually surprised that it's taken scientists this long to work out how they can do that with our own skin, because yes, there'd be some obviously some military advantages to camouflaging oneself, but then they'd all have to be nude. Why are we naked? Right, because you've got this new gene now that we've injected you in while you were sleeping last night. Right, now see David.
Yeah,
see how you're standing next to the wooden fence there.
Yeah, I'm a bit cold.
Right, I know. And I can tell, trust me. Look at yourself. Oh, my God, I'm like a brown fence. That's right. Now, see what you're next to? Oh, a brown fence. That's it. So you are camouflaged the same as the fence. Now, Michelle, you're in that bed of flowers there. Have a look at yourself. Oh, God, I'm all flowery. Yes, that's right. So you're blending into those flowers. Oh, my God, can I have some clothes? Yeah, in a minute. Now, Jack.
Yeah?
Now, this is, I know I've got a weird one for you. You're in a massive jar of jelly beans.
Yeah.
Now, can you stop eating them, by the way?
Okay. What are we doing?
Have a look at your hands.
Oh, my hands are jelly beans.
Yes, you are. Don't eat them. Don't eat your hands.
Oh, yum, 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 yum.
Oh, God. Why didn't I choose him for the jelly bean idea? Anyway, guys. Whatever you stand in or next to, you can become, all right? Oh, my God, who's that?
Oh, is this right next to you, sir?
Oh, my God, you look just like me.
Yeah, I've always wanted to be like you, sir.
Fuck's sake, get away, move away.
Oh, no. Hey, guys, who's the real him? Who's your real commander?
I am. Just get away from me.
No, I'm the real commander.
All right, so that was a little skit there.
That was good. Like great advancement on the chameleon gag. that's the future
camouflage material. You're not going to get any more recent than that. That's just hot off the press.
I couldn't even see that gag. It was so hard to see. Oh well, one day somebody's going to go, no, there was definitely a gag. Did you see it? No.
Any questions on this article?
I got one. What was it? You cancelled it. You played us 3 seconds of it, got bored of the accent.
Well, it was so AI, wasn't it? She was a little AI.
So what is the story?
Well, but
any questions?
So basically, this team had this crazy idea to see whether we could capture some aspect of the ability of squid skin tissues to change transparency within human cell cultures, says this chap, Alon Gorodetsky, who presented his team's findings at a meeting of the American Chemical Society in a press release. The so-called turnable transparency of cephalopods functions through a combination of pigment-based correlation, which can change how much light is absorbed, and structural coloration, which affects how the light is scattered through micro and nanoscopic structures. So you get the idea. It's very scientific, obviously, the idea of what happens to the cells for them to be able to manipulate and change, and it's due to the amount of light that's coming through. And, I mean, it's very, very technical. So the research focused on leucophores, skin cells that facilitate structural coloration through proteins called reflectins. These reflectins typically clump together, forming nanoparticles that can bounce back light that appears white. So you get the gist. It's very scientific. Right. At the end of the day, I wouldn't be surprised whether this kind of thing is going to happen in the future. The ability with humans seem to be so bored with themselves. And that's why some humans have already gone to the point of, obviously, tattooing is the beginning of, like, let's change ourselves. And then now tattooing is just so commonplace that no one even looks twice at someone who's completely, their whole body's tattooed. You'd go, oh, how are you? That must have hurt. And that's about it. And you might do a camouflage joke or something, but then you'd move on.
Yeah.
Some people have, like, added horns to their heads, and, you know, and another very common one is just dyeing your hair weirdly. You know, a lot of the fans are doing that. That's very normal. Back in the day, remember we were kids.
Yeah, dyeing your hair was huge, and like having multicolored hair is completely accepted now.
It's even accepted at schools now. So, like, at some, not all schools, but some schools here, you're allowed to go, you can have dyed hair. Yep. But back in our day, you wouldn't get away with that. You wouldn't get away with, like, boys wouldn't be able to turn up with their nails painted or anything like that. So now there's this, now it's just absolutely normal. I'm out watching my son's football, and there's dudes there, and you look down and they've got bare feet and half their toes are painted, and you look up and it's just some dude chugging back a beer, you know, and I often think, oh, yeah. What's happened there, mate? Did your daughter do that? Or now he goes, oh, I like a bit of the old toe paint. But
is that a real event that happened in LA?
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And look, if I could be bothered, I would do it as well. I can see the fun of doing that, but it's also like, oh, who can be bothered just to
paint your nails?
Well, especially the toenails. I mean, it's not. You know what? Thinking about it, I do have time. I should be bloody doing it.
The thing I love the thought of is that you're saying, like, in a school setting where maybe you've dyed your hair and you're sent to the principal's office because the school doesn't allow that. And you have to go see the principal.
Yeah.
And the principal's like, no, you're naughty. You're not supposed to dye your hair. You're a disgrace. In the future, kids turning up with DNA changed to camouflage, me turning up to the principal's office, they're like, you've got camouflage thing. No, don't turn into a stapler. No, I can still see you. I'm trying to tell you off here. No, I can. Look, you buddy. Oh, hey. So I can see you the whiteboard now, aren't you?
Yeah. You're over there. Is that you, the whiteboard, or are you the curtains? Your mate, the curtains, and you, the whiteboard. I can see you both there. One of you's, is that door open, or are you the door? One of you's gone, haven't you? Are you the door, or is that door gone? Who am I talking to? Someone else comes in. So you've just been talking to the curtains and the fridge and the door the whole time. I don't know what you're doing here, mate.
Yeah. The kids are sitting outside waiting to come in.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be hard being a principal in the future. It's going to be real hard.
Yeah. Is anyone in this classroom? Or am I just... I know I'm looking at some chairs here, but I'm sure there's more chairs than are supposed to be here. How many of you chairs are people? Please.
Please put your leg up if you're a chair.
Yeah. Get off the chair. There's a chair on top of a chair. No, we've just stacked the chairs, sir. Right, okay. Who said that? Was that a poster? Are you a poster?
I don't want this future.
So that's what's coming, guys.
That's exciting.
Yeah, exciting.
I can't wait because I'm bored with dyeing my hair.
Well, you'll be able to dye your hair instantly. You'll be able to just go, what color and shape do I want my hair? Boom, just like an octopus can do.
Oh, by thinking about
it.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
Emotionally do it.
Yeah.
Change the texture of
it.
Yeah, and it'll be hard, because, of course, octopus only do that when they're stressed and scared, right? They camouflage themselves, or if they're hunting. So, you'd have to try and get that under control. Otherwise, you'll be sitting there in front of your wife or your husband, and they'll be like, are you having an affair? Boomf. No, I'm not. No, I can see your hair's just gone red and all's gone all spiky. No, it's just...
You look very similar to Mrs. Robinson down the road, who I thought you might be having an affair with. Oh, no, I'm not.
This is not a good future for us. Anyway.
I'll do my headline.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Do you want to do yours?
I'll get mine. Oh, mine's a very quick one.
Okay, fine, you do yours first.
The headline once again. New research finds that plants cry and scream when stressed. So researchers have gone about stressing plants out by cutting them and not giving them enough water, and have recorded the ultrasonic sounds that are emitted from the plants to see whether or not any sounds are emitted. And they have discovered that they do in fact emit screams. Which is kind of says a lot about how we have to take care of our plants, right? So I've got a wee little video here to play if you like.
Yeah. Before you play it, I'm pretty sure that when you're mowing a lawn, the fresh smell of grass, that smell, that's plants screaming effectively. That's a signal elsewhere that danger is here, grass is being cut. So we smell that and we're like, ooh, that's a nice smell, but actually it's a death cry.
It's grass blood.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm smelling grass blood. Is that for real? Because I'm looking out at my lawns right now and have to mow them today.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to be feeling guilty.
A murderous.
Great, thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
How are we going to hear the ultrasonic thing if it's ultrasonic?
Well, hopefully. I actually haven't watched this little thing, so it's a news article. So hang on, here we go.
Okay.
Now, your houseplants might be crying out for help, if only you could hear them. Researchers at Tel Aviv University found that plants make popping sounds undetectable to the human ear, and they get noisier if they need water or if their stems have been cut. The audio of the sounds made by a dry tomato plant have been sped up and edited so it can be heard. Have a listen to this.
Okay.
That's a hell of a scream.
Can you go back and play one more recording of that tomato crying? Because we might have to turn the volume up on that one.
I haven't.
Or should I just recreate it now? I think it was like this.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Hey, yeah. Reese, are you okay? Were you screaming? Have you had enough water today, mate?
No, they missed a real opportunity there to cut to like tiny baby screaming.
Yeah.
You know, help me.
Yeah.
That would have shocked the world.
Oh, buttons. Just going, oh, shit, no, guys.
Just give me some water.
So, what are they saying the screams are? They're saying the screams are signals to other plants, warning of
plants and warning. Yeah, but also that they think that it may actually be able to be picked up by insects, for them to be able to, maybe that at the moment they're only picking up on the scream signals, but there may be other ultrasonic signals of like, hey, I've got some pollen, you bees, do you want to come in here and have a feed on my pollen? You know, there could be a whole language happening. That the fascinating thing there is that it's cross species and you know, from plant to insects, and that not just smell and it's not just color and what have you, that it's actually in a communication, and that they're talking to each other, which is the terrifying thing. If they're being cut, that's the thing. Like, if they're dry, okay, that makes sense because it's obviously gone into stress. But if you cut it and it instantly screams, that's kind of makes you think that they're sentient, right?
I mean, they are living things.
Yeah, they are living, but we are using human language there, aren't we, to sort of say they're screaming and they're crying, where in fact they're emitting signals.
They're popping.
That was a huge stretch to say.
I think saying screaming is not quite the right terminology.
Well, it got a headline, didn't it? It made its way into the Cryptid Factor. So.
Found its way to Butters.
The fools turned up.
They dragged me in. I couldn't resist it.
All right, I'll do my headline. So this is that there's a brand new cryptozoology museum that has just opened. Ooh. And the only item that they've launched with is a backpack. And you guys were actually quite close earlier because you said Percy Fawcett's backpack. And this is an exciting backpack that the three of us would be very interested, I imagine, to see. The backpack was bought at an auction recently, and it was the backpack that Edmund Hillary took on his expedition when looking for the Yeti. So the first expedition after Edmund Hillary went to Mount Everest was to look for a Yeti. So here's the thing. The backpack really should have gone for something like $100,000 because it's such a unique item. But it was the only explorer item that was part of an art auction. So there were prints that were going of artists that aren't even sort of like globally household names that were going for something like 10 times the amount that this bag was eventually bought at. So the bag went for relatively cheap, and the bag contained not only this beautiful Hillary Yeti bag, but it also had footage of the trip. So, which can be converted, and there was a letter that was written and signed by Hillary. So it was like this amazing package, and the museum is in New Zealand. So it's a New Zealand cryptozoology museum that's opened. So it's very, very exciting.
Whereabouts is it?
Buttons, where was it again? Do you know? I thought you had an idea.
I did hear that it was actually quite close to here.
Really?
Yeah, that it's very, very close to...
God, it's on your property, isn't it? Here we go.
What? Oh,
this is a big
that?
Hoax. This is... What?
Hang on. What's that in the... Because the man who bid successfully on Edmund Hillary's Yeti bag was Leon Buttons Kirkbeck sitting at an auction. And the museum that has opened is the official Cryptid Factor Museum. We have our first item. It's Hillary's Yeti bag.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Wow, done.
And we used a Scribe Unveil to reveal it.
That was awesome. You got
it's
me.
It's been very hard to keep the secret from you.
Oh, my God, that is so cool.
For those that don't know, we have a wonderful Patreon with our Cryptid Knights, who are part of our Patreon, and they pay us a little bit of money each week. And that little bit of money has amounted up enough for us to start our cryptozoology museum, and it got us this cruddy old pack.
Wow.
And look, here's in the pack, for those that can't see, I'm holding up now a letter from Sir Edmund Hillary.
Oh my God.
To the person who donated the pack, this guy called Sir Bob Harvey. And the letter is basically saying that he doesn't want to work with him anymore.
What?
This guy Bob Harvey used to make TV shows with him, and he basically is saying, I don't want to work with you anymore because it's too hard making these TV shows. So he donated this thing, but there's a signature saying, I mean, they're still friends, they remained very good friends, but it's basically a rejection letter, which is kind of hilarious. And it came with a photo of Sir Edmund Hillary the backpack that he used, but also some 16 millimeter film of them preparing for the expedition shot by a very famous New Zealand cinematographer called Roger Donaldson.
That's not going to ruin it, is it?
No.
That's like, you know, in movies when security service people take the film out and they do that and it's done. We haven't just fucked Hillary's footage.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's all gone.
Just ruined our first museum piece. Probably priceless. Oh, and there's a film here. Let me just pull this out.
Oh, hello. Well, it all seems to be black. It must have been shot at night time.
Camouflage. So what happened, Reese, is that I was at home just doing a bit of work on my computer and I looked on Instagram and it suddenly said Cryptid Factor is doing a live Instagram. And I thought, what is this? So I click onto it.
Yeah.
And it's Buttons sitting at a auction for the New Zealand Labour Party where they're auctioning off like art pieces. And the first thing I hear is Buttons going, so nobody tell Dan and Reese what I'm doing here, but I'm trying to buy Hillary's backpack.
But he's doing this live?
He's doing it live.
Just hoping we weren't going to be watching?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't yet know how social media quite works. I'm still slowly figuring it out.
Well, you fooled me, because obviously I must have been working or something. I didn't have my phone on me.
You would have been asleep. It was late at night. Yeah. And then I saw somebody on the chat said, Dan's here. And I'm like, oh, no.
Secret revealed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and it was high intensity because Button started the Instagram Live about 40 lots too early. So
of course
we all had to wait like an hour and a half while they're just auctioning off all these other prints.
Oh, God.
And then eventually it gets to us and we're all debating how much is it going to go for. And I thought minimum 100K because this is a huge piece of Hillary's life. And
iconic.
Iconic, right? And it starts, actually, someone, turns out Micah, who's one of the Cryptonites, has compiled all my growing comments of, it started with me going, don't spend our Patreon money, buddy. We're trying to sort out an American trip here. Just don't, come on. And he didn't explain that it was, so to begin with, I'm sort of saying, don't do it, don't do it. And then he explains that it's Hillary's Yeti backpack. So we start with me going, you can do this if I get to keep a strap from the bag or a zipper. And then he's saying, I'm going to have to spend it all. I'm going, yes, fuck it. Spend it. Spend all the dosh. And then we're all debating.
Oh, how easily you fold it.
Yeah, so quickly. I bet it goes for 100K. That's me finding out, wait, is this the Yeti Expedition backpack? That's where it suddenly comes in.
Oh.
Spend all of our money, I then say. They can have one of my kids too if that swings it.
Oh my God.
And then, so what happens, Reese, is Buttons is telling us that something like 5K is his top. It was something like that. And it opens the bidding at 50K. So we all think we're done.
Cooked.
Yeah.
No one bids.
Oh, really?
So it goes down 45. No one bids. Goes to 30. This is me then entering. 30. Fucking go for it. And he doesn't go for it. Goes to 20. 20. Buttons. Buttons. Fucking do it. And he's not doing it. And then finally someone else bids and we don't know that it's Buttons because Buttons' internet is going in and out. And then it kind of collapses on us. And then the next thing we hear is everyone applauding and Buttons waving to everyone. And he's won it.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this. What? This should have been filmed.
Yeah.
Where were the cameras? Where was Helena with some cameras filming this content?
We've got the live stream up on Patreon.
So I'm the last one to know about
it. You're the last guy to know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is unbelievable. But I can't believe it.
But what this means is the three of us own a third of Hillary's Yeti backpack. I mean, this is...
Wow.
We've been talking about getting his flag for years, but his backpack?
The actual backpack.
But also what I love about this is it's amazing. For us, it's a priceless treasure, but it just goes to show how few people give a shit about our interests. The fact that no one bid on it. We think this is like absolutely priceless and like no one else cares. It's like, what? So some old backpack from wasn't even the one where he conquered Mount Everest. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
We do because it's the Yeti expedition. It's way more important to us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. And also I got to be involved in another Schreiber reveal, which are, you know, very amazing opportunities. It's like only the second or third one that I've fallen for. Which has got to be your new spin-off show, the Schreiber Reveals.
Exactly.
But if you name a show that, then it's clearly that's what's going to be happening on it. And so people are just going to be like, come on, when's the reveal, mate? Come on. Hello and welcome to Schreiber's Reveal tonight.
It was honestly, though, it was one of the most thrilling. It was like watching Apollo 13 again, where you're like, come on, Buttons, bring it home, get us home. And you're hoping that by the time the backpack comes up, everyone's spent their money and it's just going to go to him.
Yeah.
And it's the only item where they go, okay, we're here for the final item. Before we get to it, let's have three speeches on the importance of this backpack. And like people came up and gave these talks.
Really? Of
the Yeah, so we thought, oh, no, we're done.
Yeah.
The New Zealand Minister for the Environment, David Parker, he got up and did a little talk about the importance of it. Then the ex-mayor, Bob Harvey, got up and talked about his relationship with Sir Edmund Hillary and about filming with him and about the importance of the backpack and everything. And everybody must have been sitting there going, yep, nah, still don't buy it, mate. Still just a backpack. And I'm going, don't get everybody excited. Don't get on the air. I'm expecting everybody to be like, I'll buy it.
An item so dull, they had to get three speeches before it was anyone would have any interest in it. And even then, no one cared until one dude at the back,
yeah, I'll pay top dollar.
The funny thing is, it's because I was live streaming and talking to the camera. The room was filled with all of these, old dignitaries and all dressed up in suits and everything like that. And there I am talking to my camera as I bid. And the people are like, what a wanker.
Yeah.
And I let the bidding go all the way. And that was the thing. It was getting kind of embarrassing because it went to 20 grand and then it went all the way down to 10 grand. And then somebody finally bid on it. And then I bid on it at $12,000. And then that was it. It was just nobody else bid. I think the other person bid because they were just
they're feeling embarrassed for the Hillary family.
Exactly.
So we got it for 12 grand.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So now we have to start thinking about what's the next item? Imagine a museum with two items in it. It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
It's like doubling
the beginning.
Collection.
How are we going to display
it? That's exciting.
Buttons? Have you got a plan for where it's going? And the
I think it can be one of those traveling museums where it starts off at my place for a third of the year, and then we move it to Reese's house. Buy tickets to walk into Reese's house and come maybe have a drink at the tiki bar on the way.
Maybe
through.
Up by the goat shed.
And then
Tribes. And then send it over to your place. We need to you need to build a display case for it.
Yes,
exactly.
And with a plaque.
Yeah. Let's see it again, Buttons. I haven't properly seen it since you got it.
Here it is here. Just leaning up against Rodney's old pesticide shelf.
Oh, God. I'm so worried something's going to happen to it. That's $12,000, mate. You can't just put it there next to the pesticide. Can you please take it in the house?
It's fine. It's seen worse,
rats
mate.
Rats are going to get into it.
It's seen worse. I've just got to read a little part of the letter that we got with it as well.
Oh, yeah.
So this letter was sent from Sir Edmund Hillary from Kathmandu, from the Papula hospital. He was in hospital at some point in Kathmandu, and he writes to Bob, to the mayor. It says, the main purpose of this letter is to say that in your film sales efforts, I do not wish you to commit me to any further films in the Hillary series without my explicit written permission. My discussion on the Ganges film produced. He says, I am not interested in doing any more. And he says, best of luck. Yours sincerely, Sir Edmund Hillary. But as it turns out, this guy, the mayor, Bob Harvey, he did the fundraising to actually get Sir Edmund Hillary over to do the Yeti expedition.
Right.
And he talks about the fact that when he actually got there, the monks every 200 years bring the Yeti skull out and show off the Yeti skull. And it was coming up to this point, and Sir Edmund went over there and had the big ceremony and brought the skull out. And he said it quite clearly straight away, as soon as he saw it, he recognized it as a monkey skull with some yak fur glued to it.
Really?
And so, yeah, he called up and said it's a massive disaster. But the interesting thing is they still made a documentary out of it. But this is obviously in the 1960s, and it's gone missing. No, but the film, the archives don't have this documentary. It's just they can't find it anywhere. There's no copy of it anywhere.
Wow.
So the little bit of film that we have is the only surviving film from that documentary. Apart from that, the entire documentary is gone.
And you just ruined it.
I just ruined it. I'm just wiping the pesticides off now. I'm pretty sure it should be fine. It'll be all right.
So those listeners that don't know, obviously Sir Edmund Hillary conquered Mount Everest. He's a New Zealander. Sir Edmund was basically one of our greatest, if not the greatest, living embodiment of what it means to be a Kiwi, which is that determination and grit that nothing is too hard to do, nothing is too challenging if you just put your mind to it and don't give up. And so he's a very important figure in our world. And in 1960, he did the return to the Himalayas, his beloved place there, to search for the Yeti. And so at that point, you got to think back to the 60s, even the 50s, and then into the 60s. This creature was very much sought after as something that would likely exist. And as time's gone by, it's now in the folklore is more myth than anything, because, you know, nothing was found. But at that point, it was a big deal. And it didn't, you know, he came away, what did he come back? He came back with a footprint. And which is that famous photo where he's got the pickaxe next to it, and also the hair sample, which I think, as you say, turned out to be a goat or something. Having just the symbolism of that expedition as well, the exploration of the unknown, which is what we stand by, and it's kind of it's the heart and soul of the Cryptid Factor's existence. So that signifies that backpack which went on that expedition is like a holy grail piece for us. So if that's going to be the first piece of our official museum, well worth spending money on. And you know, amazing job, you guys, especially you, obviously, Buttons, for just taking the balls to do it. It couldn't be anything else out there that would be more symbolic for us as a group.
The expedition backpack, exactly.
Congratulations.
Yay. Congratulations to us all. And a massive thank you to our Patreon followers. And actually, there's extra content up there. When I heard about it, I went to the house of this woman who was organizing the auction. Barbara went to her house and met up with Sir Bob Harvey, who's a legend and a great storyteller. And I interviewed him about the backpack and got a whole thing. So that's up on the Patreon account now as well for people to watch to hear the stories. But he obviously does a much better job than mine. But I agree. It's the one expedition that I sort of look to. Because you think about the fact that the mindset for him to go, nobody can climb that mountain, I'm going to go and prove them wrong. It's the same thing. He goes, people don't believe that this Yeti's there. He saw footprints when he was climbing Everest the first time and that were unexplainable. So he's like, people don't believe this exists. I'm going to go and prove them wrong. It's such a great attitude to be. And sure, he didn't prove it on that one trip, but you're not. I mean, it's one trip and the Yeti skull might not have been what it was, you know, purported to be. That doesn't mean there's not.
But it's also a great excuse for another adventure, isn't it?
Exactly. And we should go and remake the documentary that is lost.
Well, the search for that missing documentary, that sounds like a great documentary in itself.
Wow, this is a good start for it, to find little bits of the footage.
Wow, that's cool, man. That hit me for a six. That's a real mind-blowing Cryptid Factor moment.
Woohoo! I just can't wait to get you guys to touch it.
How does it smell?
It smells great. It smells like adventure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you checked all the pockets as well? Are there any like polo mints that he left in there or anything like that?
No, unfortunately, there's none of that. But do you know the guy who actually filmed that documentary? He's a New Zealander called Roger Donaldson. he's made some incredible films. He went on to become a director himself. You know, one of the films that he made was Cocktail.
Is it Cocktail?
How did you know? That's amazing. He did Cocktail. He did The World's Fastest Indian.
Wow.
Yes.
He did Dante's Peak.
Oh, wow. Remember that?
Yeah. What? But his first thing was Hillary's Yeti Expedition.
Well, yeah, he shot
That's
it.
That's amazing. He also did The Bounty.
The Bounty. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, he did Cadillac Bounty. Man with Robin Williams and Tim Robbins.
Oh, really? Oh, yes, yeah. Too. Cadillac Man.
Yeah, wow.
The great documentary McLaren.
Yeah.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
He also did The Bank Job with what's his name, from that guy from that movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we're running out of steam here. All right, let's move on to...
He's still alive. I'm going to go track him down.
Yeah, he's a legend. Do we bother... Well, actually, interviewing him about that original expedition that he filmed...
Definitely.
...would be well worth a track down. And also, he would know where the bloody doco ended up.
Yeah. I'll track him down. Okay, anyway, we should do some cryptid news, I guess.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Oh, help me!
Did you guys catch the news about this cube-shaped creature with 24 eyes discovered hiding in a pond in Hong Kong?
What the somehow missed it.
Hang on, a cube-shaped creature with 24 eyes?
Yeah.
Are you sure this isn't a kid's book?
No. Honestly, researchers scooped water from a pond and discovered a new species of cube-shaped creature with 24 eyes.
Love it.
What?
Love it.
This comes from the Miami Herald, okay, which is part of the McClatchley Media Network.
Oh, good.
One of the most reliable networks.
If it's from the McClatchleys, it's definitely legit.
Yeah, they're a lovely bunch of people. Media moguls, the McClatchleys. McClatchy. It's a McClatchy. Scientists let down a net and scooped up water from a brownish-green pond in Hong Kong. As they looked closer at their catch, they found a cube-shaped 24-eyed creature looking back and discovered a new species. The researchers found the creature hiding in the brackish water of shrimp ponds at Mai Po Nature Reserve, according to a study published March 20 in the journal Zoological Studies. They returned three summers in a row and kept finding more of these creatures. The scientists analyzed the animals and discovered a new species of box jellyfish. Jellyfish are named, obviously, their cube-shaped bodies. And this group of jellyfish contains some of the most venomous marine animals in the world.
Wow.
Far out.
So just to show you kind of like what a box jellyfish looks like.
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Freaky. With always freaky
the
stuff.
The super long legs, well, whatever they're called. Not legs but loose bits of fabric.
Nice legs.
Yeah, I mean, they're not tentacles. Maybe you call them that.
Dangly bits.
Obviously, this new species, I always give things a bizarre name. Tripedalia mypoensis has a see-through body with a slight whitish tinge. The jellyfish measuring less than an inch long. So it's tiny, guys.
What? Hang on. It's less than an inch long and it's got 24 eyes. How small are the eyes?
Well,
it'd be tiny.
Okay, so the jellyfish has 24 eyes arranged in sets of six. On each side, the creature has two larger eyes, the upper and lower lens eyes, surrounded by four smaller eyes known as the pit and slit eyes.
Okay. God, I'm watching you right now. Are you watching me through your real eye? No, I'm watching you through four of my pit and slit eyes.
Here we go. I've got a picture here to show you, chaps, a diagram of the Tripedalia mypoensis jellyfish showing six of the animal's eyes. The abbreviation LE means lower lens eye, PE means pit eye. I'm telling you these because when I show you the picture, you'll see these abbreviations with arrows. So I want you to remember LE is lower lens eye.
Lower lens
PE means pit eye. Yeah. S-E is your slit eye.
Slit eye. And, that's good.
And yep. U-E means upper lens eye.
Oh,
here
okay.
we go.
I'm so excited to see the image.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's amazing.
Look at that.
Right, so pet eye, slit eye, one UE. What was the UE again?
Upper lens eye.
Yeah.
And you're not going to remember any of this tomorrow, no. So it's pointless, but let's move
on. Hang on. No, but hang on. Of those set of eyes, are you saying there's multiple sets of those eyes all around it?
Yeah.
Nobody's sneaking up on this little bugger.
Yeah, so there's, as I say, 24 altogether, but they're in sets of six.
But
so that's one
only,
set of six.
So I've got two questions with this, which blow me away.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if it's only an inch long, those eyes are tiny. But how does it process all of that data from all of those eyes? If it's only an inch long, it must have a tiny little brain processing 24 lenses, unless it sort of has the ability to switch them on and off and it's not having to look at all of those eyes all at the same time.
It might take it to one central source.
Yeah, but it'd be tiny.
Right.
But I do have to say the headline of saying that a creature was scooped out of a lake that was a box that had 24 eyes.
Yeah. Worth it for the headline. And
totally worth it for the headline.
And you think to yourself, I can see Dan yawning excessively there. But
it's super late in the UK. This
is, yeah, I think the best way...
Tube-shaped creature with 24 eyes discovered hiding in pond in Hong Kong. Study says, scientists let down a net and scooped up water from a brownish-green pond in Hong Kong. As they looked closer at the catch, they found a cube-shaped 24 creature looking back and discovered a new species. The scientists analyzed the animals and discovered a new species of box jellyfish.
Yeah, it's way more interesting.
The jellyfish, measuring less than
I've already said all this, mate. Yeah, you're a bit behind, buddy. Talk as fast as you like, but everyone already knows it.
We're already all there.
Mother's Day is Sunday. Spoil Mom at JCPenney. Help her unwind and relax.
Don't you get, stop trying to put an ad in my... This is my show.
Are you kidding?
Oh, my God. The Miami Herald. You know, this is so typical of the McClatchy group. You know, you guys with your media network just trying to get some money.
Oh, you know what? The other thing is, the problem with that is that people now know that this was recorded on Mother's Day, and by the time I get it edited in and out, it's probably going to be Father's Day. Damn it, McClatchy group. They're bloody...
Foiled again!
Oh, no!
All right, what cryptids have you guys got?
Well, I got two pieces which are of not recent sightings. They're more sort of bulletin crypto news. The first being that there's a place in America called Clallam County, possibly a different pronunciation there, who have just officially signed off a proclamation recognizing and honoring Sasquatch. And what they've done is they've turned it into a protection and refuge zone. So officially, they... Bigfoot and Sasquatch and any other giant hairy ape in the area is officially protected by the county.
Oh, that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so that's a safe haven for any Sasquatch listening to this show. You are safe
yes.
if you head that way.
Yeah.
And it got signed this year. It says... Now, therefore, we, the Board of Clallam County Commissioners, hereby request all citizens of Clallam County recognize this county as a refuge for Sasquatch to prove both protection and security and also support for the Forks Sasquatch Day. So they have a Sasquatch Day, May 26th through to May 28th. So not quite sort of understanding what a day's length is there, but that's fine. And then just a little... historical animal that's been discovered. Scientists have found a 10-foot long killer tadpole that used to terrorize the earth. This was before dinosaurs were about
10-foot long.
10-foot long tadpole. It's a 330-million-year-old crocodile-like tadpole.
That's quite scary.
Crocodile-like tadpole.
I know, there's a lot of mixed use of words here, isn't there?
Is it a tadpole-like crocodile? How do they know? Yes.
Yeah. I'd hate to see the size of frog that bloody tadpole's going to turn into. Jesus.
So true.
Can you imagine it?
But where it used to swim is in what is now, because obviously the land masses have changed from 330 million years ago, is now what is Scotland, as well as parts of North America. But, you know... this thing does have elements that look slightly Nessie-like, and 350 million years ago, swimming in the territory of where Loch Ness might have been, I'm throwing it in as a potential new candidate, as a Nessie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big tadpole.
It's a big killer tadpole.
Could be a 10-foot-long tadpole. God, when that turns into a massive frog, we'll bloody know about it.
It's not. It's just not really such a... Like, somebody said, what happened to Buttons? He was killed by a crocodile. You go, oh, poor dude, that's really... As opposed to, oh, what happened to Buttons? He got killed by a tadpole. Oh.
It was 10 foot long.
Well, 10 foot is a big one. No, yeah. No, cool. It's not a way to go, is
no,
it?
No, being killed by something that's only just started its life cycle. It's exactly. Not even halfway through being the thing it's going to be yet. It didn't even have legs. It's literally just come out of the egg and eaten you.
Yeah, exactly. How was he killed? He was killed by a lion. Oh, that's crazy. Well, it was actually the fetus of a lion.
Someone threw the fetus of a lion at him.
Yeah, so that's just my new theory.
That's a great new theory.
I like that. I mean, I also think it's fun, the idea that, or interesting, that prehistoric animals were so huge, and then over time, with evolution, things have just got smaller and smaller.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
But we've actually got taller, haven't we? As a species, we've grown. So that doesn't translate. Because early humans were much smaller, right?
Yeah.
We should be getting smaller.
Even people in the 60s are smaller, because you go to those thrift stores and nothing fits you. You think, God, am I huge? No, people back then were just smaller.
And you go to old pubs and the doors, like, you know, like 200 years ago, were like tiny little doors.
No, but you know, I've told you the reason for that, right?
Yeah, people were tiny.
People were tiny. No, what it was is that material cost a lot. So to buy the wood for a door and make a good door would cost quite a lot. So why make such a tall door when all you need is an opening? So doors were smaller just because it made sense to use less materials. I think I've made that up.
Pretty normal for people to bend down to go through doors back in the day.
Exactly.
Good exercise too. Yeah. Well, anyway, from small doors to my little piece of news, which again is surrounding AI. You can't get away from AI in the news of late, which is really getting kind of a little bit boring. It seems like years ago when we were having scripts written for us by AI, and it seemed really quite weird and strange, and now AI is becoming very commonplace. And what it's also doing, which is a little bit annoying, people are using AI to try and prove that Bigfoot is definitely not real, and also they're trying to use it to prove that footage that has previously been used as evidence of Bigfoot, using it to prove that it's not. And the one that they've put AI to just recently is the famous Patterson-Gimlin film, which is a little bit, I mean, great. It's a good use for it. Everybody's been looking at that film for decades, ever since it was taken, trying to determine whether it was true or not, or real. Now, some experts have used AI computer vision to stabilize that footage of the Patterson-Gimlin film to try and determine whether or not it is just human-like walking rather than the big, you know, sort of strange ape-like type walk that people believe it is. And unfortunately, people are saying that the results clearly prove that it was actually just somebody dressed up in an ape suit.
Well, if there's any more reasons that we need to hate AI, that's it right there.
Exactly.
You're telling me that the fucking artificial, and let's put that in full caps, artificial intelligence is now telling us that we got it all wrong, you dumbass humans. It was a guy in a suit, because I can fucking prove it, because my processing power and my stability technology intuition is beyond anything you could imagine, you useless breathing bits of meat.
Pretty much, that is exactly.
Well, I think this is the beginning of the revolution right here. We're starting it here on the Cryptid Factor right now. No one fucks with our with our paddy footage. That's one of our holy grails. You're telling me we've been lied to the whole time? Fuck off, robots. Come on.
Let's take them down.
The war starts now.
One step too far. They crossed a line. You crossed a line, AI.
Yeah. Next, they'll be telling us that we wasted our money on a backpack.
Let's see the footage.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
So this is the AI adjusted footage.
AI adjusted footage. Here we go. It is very well stabilized.
Wait, what?
And that's it.
What?
That's it stabilized.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. That looks more human.
Yeah, they say that if you look at it, because in the previous footage it's been so shaky when people have stabilized it in the past, the stabilization doesn't do a great job of actually then getting the detail of the actual movements.
Uh-huh.
What they're saying is that this AI tool doing the stabilization is actually using computer vision as well. So it's actually looking at all the pixels and making it easier to more distinguishable.
But I'm seeing is something that's been adjusted that isn't the original.
Yeah.
The original, of course, was shot on film, and you know, it's computers versus the very raw reality of analog. You know, in my mind, it's kind of like where it's been adjusted to make it look as though it's not as real as what it was.
Where do you stop, right? You turn it into a cartoon if you wanted now using AI tools. You can, you know, literally recreate it from a 3D angles and stuff, but it's still not the original. It's a computer's interpretation of it.
Surely we should all resort to the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you start stabilizing shit, you know, you are tampering it.
Yeah.
It's a sticky one. And I saw this article as well, and I decided not to bring it up.
Give it the light of day, and I did.
You did.
Because I was desperate. I didn't want to either, but I couldn't find anything else.
Yeah.
It was,
is this the one from the Daily Star, or might it be a different one that I got?
No, I've got the IFL Science.
Right.
Because mine says, Bigfoot expert blasts AI for almost daily hoaxes getting in the way of the search.
This
is where Bigfoot expert Thomas Markham has said the elusive creatures community is struggling with hoaxes made up by artificial intelligence on almost daily occurrences. For those, so people are now who are going to be hoaxing have now got the amazing ability with AI imagery to make the hoaxes look even more realistic. So that's another thing that's getting in the way. It's going to be even more difficult to verify images and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's probably a different article, I think, but then the same ballpark.
I don't want to accuse the guy who's sort of attacking it in this article of being biased. You know, you'd think he's scientific. However, the quote, if you go down buttons to the highlighted quote, I think he does have a bit of an agenda when he says, when the guy in the suit turned to look at the camera, sort of suggests that he...
His mind was already made up.
Yeah, you're so right. Yeah.
He's called Crook.
Yeah.
I don't believe this guy.
Crook.
Cliff Crook. He's out. I'm sorry, mate.
He's a crook. We all knew he was a crook at the point that he called himself one.
Yeah. I'm sorry, there's no way. I mean, no offense to you, Crook, but
you bloody crook.
I love it when people say, no offense, mate. Oh, I've just delivered you a bit of offense here. But I'm taking that away with the following sentence, no offense, so you can't have at me. But I have sued you for millions for lying to me. No offense, mate.
Oh, damn it, because I was on the brink of being offended there. You were really rude to me and my family name. But then you fucking, with no offense, I mean, nothing, I've got no argument against that. So have a great day, mate. Have a great day.
Oh, really ready to be offended.
All right, well, on that note, we should skedaddle.
Well, there's one, because just quick, one last thing that we have to celebrate is the fact that, and it's really good because we've spent $12,000 on a backpack, that there's no additional charges from Oldfinger coming back into the show, which is so thankful. Of all the whole time I've been worried that he may just pop back up and just be like, we've got no money for this. So
No,
really?
He's absolutely gone. And even though I did say no offense to him, he got offended by me saying, you know, his voice was dropping a bit there. He's a bit rusty. But I think that is the last we've seen or heard of him for a while, for now.
You wee. Well, I'm going to go make a box for an old backpack now, guys. I'm going to go make a display unit.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see that. What a comeback show.
Yeah.
Great. Every show we do now is like a comeback show, which is I look forward to the next one at Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dan, I'll let you get to sleep. I can see you've glazed over again.
I faded.
He's gone. He's gone. I'm nearly out of
his eyes are like a couple of glazed donuts.
I'm holding on strong.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
Okay.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Right, I just wanted to say this, all right? You only live twice. That's why I'm back. Old Finger, he's a man who came back from the grave. He likes to rave.
Old Bond, come back, please. It's your nurse here. You need your pills.
Oh, shit. I've got to go, guys. Well, it's good to be back. Where's my backpack?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.